And I believe I have with me on the phone Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Elad.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
Thank God, and how are you?
I am good. I am good.
Wonderful.
So, Parashat Naso.
So we have this week's Torah portion, which is Parashat Naso. We're just coming off Shavuot.
Yeah.
Which we recommitted ourselves to God with the receiving of the Torah spiritually again, that God gave to us over 3,300 years ago. And we see that it talks about in this week's Torah portion where it completes the head count of the Jewish children of Israel taken in the Sinai Desert. A total of 8,580 Levite men between the ages of 30 and 50 are counted. In a tally of those who will be doing the actual work of transporting the tabernacle. Obviously, we're talking about it in the desert. That's why they were the ones specifically counted, because they were going to be the ones that are going to be moving all the things.
That was a big operation, huh?
It was huge. We think, you know, we move or we have to get a building from here to there. Or
yeah, I'm in the process of moving now.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, if you have to get, you know, construction sites and you have to make sure this comes to there. They were the Mishkan, the tabernacle. I mean, it was huge. I mean, it was, and there was no machines and there was no trucks and cranes and
yeah,
who knows what.
Yeah, I could use 30 of them to help me with the moving.
That's right, exactly. What do they say? They say, you know, we never know how much stuff we have. We have to move, right?
We have too much, and we don't. I have stuff that I'm moving from house to house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they say, Meshaneh makom, meshaneh mazal, right?
Meshaneh makom, meshaneh mazal.
Letova.
Letova, inshallah. That's it.
Inshallah, yeah, that's what they say. Whoever doesn't understand Hebrew, says meshaneh makom is change of place.
It's meshaneh mazal,
change of luck.
That's it.
For the good.
Yeah.
So you should have all the luck changing in your way.
Thank you.
God communicates to Moses the laws of Sota, the way where his wife suspected of unfaithfulness to her husband. It also gives the law of Nazir, who forswears wine, lest his or her hair grow long, and is forbidden to become contaminated through contact with a dead body. Aaron and his descendants, the Kohanim, priests, are instructed in how to bless the people of Israel. And obviously we know that the leaders have 12 tribes of Israel, each one bringing their whatever they had to bring for the tabernacle, so on and so forth. You know, in the world that we live today, in the material world, it is very hard to be spiritual. I feel that sometimes, and I hear that from a lot of people, our possessions, they come to possess us. This generation, we can't put down our smartphones, or at least, you know, We can't even have, you know, the last piece of, for example, chocolate cake. You know, we need to have it. And we can spend years working to achieve success in a career, in a relationship, or any other, you know, worthy thing that we're pursuing. And then we throw it all away for a foolish, temporary temptation. So the question is how do we achieve harmony in our lives? How do we get a place where there is no conflict between our spiritual goal and our physical need? The world is a very, very physical, needy place that we want to have everything that's in there. But how do we have our spiritual aspirations go together with our physical needs? So, as we talked about in this week's Parsha of Naso, the Torah teaches us how to move from spiritual folly to inner peace. And we can do this, and the Torah gives us the means to do it by describing three laws, which we said before. The wayward woman, the Sota, the Nazirite, the Nazir, and the priestly blessing, which concludes with the blessing for peace. Yatem Lecha, Shalom. So, first the Torah describes the law of the wayward woman, the Sota, which is the Hebrew word for wayward is Sota, is related to the word for foolishness, shtut, shtut, Yeah. However, you know, if you want to be Ashkenazi or Sephardi or Israeli,
which is nonsense in Hebrew.
Yes, exactly. Foolishness.
Yeah.
Stupidity. Now, the Talmud states a person does not commit a transgression, because no one wants to sin, unless a spirit of folly enters them. So thus, the Sota, the wayward woman, personifies the person who acts against their better judgment as a result of great temptation. So to discover how to overcome the state of Sota, we look to the next portion, the portion of the Nazirite, the Nazir, which, if we understand it correctly, is the secret, I believe, to achieving the inner spiritual harmony described in the priestly blessing. Because let's look at the Nazirite for a second. The Nazirite, the man or woman who takes a vow to temporarily refrain from drinking wine, cutting their hair, and becoming ritually impure from a dead body. And that is referred to as holy. However, the Torah teaches that at the conclusion of the Nazirite period, he or she must offer a sin offering, a korban chatan. This implies that although the choice to become a Nazirite was the right choice for that person at that specific time, and thus a holy choice, the Nazirite way of life is not the preferred one. Because in Torah's ideal model of holiness, the human being engages with the physical world and imbues it with spirituality, creating peace between body and soul, your neshama.
Mm-hmm.
But occasionally, in order to achieve this ideal state of holiness, a person may have to take the path of the Nazirite. So, if one wants to ensure that they are in control, that the wine, the chocolate cake, or a smartphone will indeed enhance their spiritual life, if that's what we truly believe, then sometimes we first have to disengage. We have to demonstrate that we can't survive for a period of time without dependence on the specific material possession. That I can live without my smartphone. Now, after refraining from drinking wine for 30 days, the Nazirite, the Nazir, can return to the consumption of wine while still maintaining his holiness. Through undergoing the process of the Nazirite, one can be holy while engaged in the world. He can use his possessions as tools to attain spiritual goals rather than to detract from them or to move them away. And then the Torah provides for us, if you look at what we're talking about today and what it says in the Torah provides the roadmap to journey from the aspect of Sota to the Nazirite to the priestly blessing, from folly to control to peace and harmony. You know, we all have that problem. Have you ever gone out and seen that people are on a date or whatever it may be? And I've seen it with my own eyes, and I'm thinking in my mind, I'm like, what is going on? Two people, they're on a date, and they're both on their cell phone. And you would think,
yes.
Hold on a second. Are you texting each other instead of speaking to each other? Or is the phone consuming you? Such an urge, it's consuming so much of you that you cannot even speak to the person next to you. And if we try for a little bit of time to remove ourselves from that, then yes, when we do have our smartphone, when we do drink wine, when whatever it is, we realize we're not dependent on it. We're allowing ourselves to use it to fulfill my mission in this world. You know, I had this week a Lebanese individual person doing some work, and we were talking about certain things, and he said, you know what? He made a rule in his house last week, whatever it was, that his children cannot have their cell phone at the dining room, at the supper table.
Did he text it to them? No, <I'm just>
Very well said, Eli.
Thank you.
And he said, you know, it bothers him because he says, yeah, let's talk. Talk about any topic you want, but let's just talk. Because we have become so consumed. It's not only teenagers. It's adults as well that we become so consumed that we need to have our phone to relate to business. People want answers 30 seconds after you send an email. I want an answer. Why didn't he answer? Is he okay? Is everything okay?
Yeah.
If we use it, the physical world, to enhance our spirituality, then that's wonderful. That's amazing. But how do we know that we're really doing it? If I know that I can live with it throughout, without it for one day. When is the greatest test? Try, people should try with it on Shabbat. Try one day. Don't have your phone. You'll see how I love it. You'll see how, yes, after Saturday night, you turn it on, you got all your emails and texts and WhatsApps and Facebook and Twitters, whatever it is, but you feel something. You feel a freedom to a certain extent. And maybe that's a little bit of a problem because we've become such a slave to this that it becomes a problem. So, even though we have these material things, let's try and make sure that we can allow it to become something spiritual. And that's something when I was reading this Torah portion, I was like, well, this really speaks to who we are and what we are. Anyway, in a little bit over a week, June 23rd on Sunday, we're going to be having Operation Thunderbolt, the Miracle of Entebbe. We're flying in Rami Sherman, who is an officer commander of the IDF elite unit. He was there in Entebbe. He was right behind the Mercedes. He was one of the commandos down there. He's going to come and give a first-hand account exactly what happened, how it happened, and any question you might have, you'll be able to ask him. The doors open at 7 o'clock with refreshments. At 7:30, he will be his presentation. This is happening Sunday, June 23rd, at the Jewish Community Center in one of the rooms. And we will have the wonderful presence of the Windsor Police Service there, which will be there to make sure that everything runs smoothly. And next week, Ilan, I know there's the Negev dinner. And I'm going to be there Wednesday and Thursday, obviously, for koshering and everything. It's going to be a kosher event, naturally. So I hope to get away for the few minutes and be able to do the our regular interview. So,
that would be great. I will bug you.
You can bug me. Please call me on my cell phone.
I will do that.
And the Shabbat services, before you even ask me, Ilan, I'm on the roll today. Before you even ask me, I'm going to tell you when Shabbat services is. Tomorrow night, Friday evening, 7:30. Shabbat morning, 9:30. Sunday morning, 8:30, followed by breakfast. And Monday and Thursday is the Minyan at 7:15 in the Paris House. And I want to wish everyone a happy Father's Day for this coming Sunday.
Sounds good. So we'll wait to have you on next week on Thursday.
I look forward to that.
And I wish you Shabbat Shalom and great weekend.
You too, and we will talk.
Thank you.
Be well. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.